In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
That's Good Friday, Sony, Big Zoo.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We've been talking to Rex Ryan. In case you missed any of what we discussed this first hour, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Okay, we're going to stick with football here this hour. We'll get to the baseball and Judge and Lindor and the MVP stuff. And Soto, of course, coming up a little bit later on. We'll have a perfect parlay pick segment for Week 12 later. Nick Costos as well. So a jam-packed Friday show here. But something that bothered both of us, BT, was ESPN's L. Duncan taking a shot, an unnecessary shot, at Daniel Jones yesterday. You have the audio up here, Zoo? Okay, so in case you missed it, we all know Jones gave his, concession speech.
His goodbye.
Yeah, he gave his goodbye. Mm-hmm. Do I love the fact that he penned it out? No, but it should have been from the heart, but he didn't want to mess anything up. Whatever, that's fine. Good for Jones. It was, heartfelt and emotional. I don't know how you could watch that and not feel bad for Daniel Jones. Here's what ESPN's L. Duncan did on her show after that.
We normally reserve taking the L for Fridays, but Giants quarterback Daniel Jones just did something so inexplicable that we made an exception. After being benched this week, Jones took to the podium to say goodbye to the franchise and fans, but with like 7 games left in the season.
All right, I wrote something down just to make sure I say it the right way.
I'm sorry, you have to write this down? Didn't you go to Duke? You guys think he had this saved in his notes since like 2020? In all seriousness, DJ, I could have saved you like 90 seconds. A rewrite. Sorry you paid me $108 million for one playoff win, and I look forward to reviving my career as Brock Purdy's backup. The end.
BT, I have a major issue with that. Like, A, it wasn't funny. B, it was just totally classless. Kick somebody when they're down. You want to evaluate his play, that's fine. Again, you want to question, as I would, like, I don't like the fact that people write things down when they do these speeches, but whatever, I'm not going to make a big deal of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Daniel Jones, and yeah, he's rich and he's going to be fine. You can feel and see he was hurting yesterday. And for somebody to take liberty with that and try to poke fun at it, I just thought that was totally classless and the wrong thing to do from L. Duncan.
As did I. Listen, I try not to stick my beak where other people eat, other networks and other mm-hmm. takes and
we
other
opinions.
We usually
don't do that.
We
don't.
We don't. We have enough content with you and I doing what we do, and that's what we get paid to do. I really don't care what anybody else is doing.
Right.
But, it impacts somebody who's played here for a while. That's a New York story. I thought it was classless as well. I also think it's another example, sadly, of how people are further desensitized to others' feelings, and I think that directly correlates to social media, because there's just the flippant nature in which people trounce on others' other vulnerabilities to me is nothing I have any interest in ever doing. Now, me yelling about Rex not becoming the Jets head coach, that's one thing.
Or us ripping Daniel Jones because he stunk on the field. And by the way, like today or after that wouldn't be the day to do that. Like, you see the kid emotionally like that. We could rip these players. It should never be a personal thing.
No, I hear you. I'm certainly not going to take somebody else's at their lower, maybe not. Listen, it's like he just got arrested or something. But, that's why I don't want to say lowest moment. Certainly a low moment, and take that into a 30-second bit so we could put it all over social media and try to prove that we're funny. It wasn't remotely humorous. There was no tact there. It was classless, and sadly, this is the way of the world too often, really, because now it's on to the next thing, and on to the next thing, and mm-hmm. on to the next thing. But when somebody puts their heart on a table, the last thing I'm going to do is stomp on it. I'm going to respect it.
How could you watch that? And I'm always looking for different ways to be creative or a different, unique thought, as opposed to just going with mainstream thought, whatever it may be. But how could you watch that and feel anything but bad for Daniel Jones? Like, how could you not feel sad for him? again, forget about, like, he's going to be just fine. He's going to get a job somewhere else next year as a backup, probably. He made a ton of money already. Mm-hmm. But how can you just, as an individual, watch that and think that's something that you're going to make fun of to be funny with? And I'm not saying we wouldn't make fun of other stuff or have some fun with things.
Sure.
That in particular, no, where that, the I guy just, comes out there, he's already embarrassed because he's being relegated to the practice squad.
Yeah.
He's got to read the statement and pen his goodbye after 6 years. Mm-hmm. Not 2 weeks, not 2 years, 6 years. And he's been a good kid. He's been tough. He just hasn't been a good quarterback. He's getting emotional. You're going to make fun of that? I don't know. Not to pile on her either.
No. But we're reacting to what she said. I mean, listen, there's a callousness that is now just infiltrated almost every aspect of society. You know, what I prefer to do is remember when I actually met Daniel Jones for the last time, ironically, when we were playing a baseball game. We were in Montville, and at this point, I guess the kids were 8.
Oh, yeah, that's when you met Jones and Saquon.
Saquon, and Saquon hadn't signed his contract yet. It was before last season, obviously. And there I'm coaching third, and I see a little bit of a buzz growing on the other side field over at Montville High School, the Mustangs, and I see more and more kids going there, and it's Daniel Jones, and it's Saquon Barkley. And all they were trying to do, they didn't know they had a big, it was like a district game, whatever, so it was a fairly big event. They didn't know that there was that was going on. They thought it was like just a little tiny Little League game. Before you know it, there's hundreds of people around them. And Daniel Jones, just how giving he was of his time. Listen, Daniel Jones is the kind of kid that you want your daughter to marry. You know, you don't make him a punchline.
Right.
I'll always have Daniel Jones's back in that regard.
Well,
he's a great guy.
How about giving him some credit for when he very easily, he didn't have to address the media or come up with a statement or say anything. But how about, that's a tough thing to do. That's embarrassing. I don't care how many dollars you have in the bank or where you're at, social status and whatever it may be. That's embarrassing after you get benched like that, after knowing that you didn't do the job, to face the New York media and the fan. Like, I give him credit for having the stones to face the music after that, when many people would want to run and hide and be like, I'll deal with this another time. I'm not doing this right now. I give him credit for that. I just thought it was in poor taste.
Yep.
I wouldn't have even known about it if not for Pat Hanlon tweeting about it.
I saw it. I saw Pat's tweet as well.
Yeah, which
I saw,
mean,
that.
You know, he has the right to speak his mind and stick up for his guys. But, I mean, this was just, I thought it was totally classless from L. Duncan and ESPN. Hoff, you want to
add something? Can I just add something, too? Because it's funny. You're right. I didn't know about it until Pat Hanlon put it out there. But I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the audio. I searched I found it this morning. To me, that just shows a little bit how insignificant that other side is these days. Like, they can say what they want. I don't even care what you said. But it was meaningless.
ESPN has dug their own hole.
Well, they have. Well, I don't want to get into all that myself, but then didn't she, because we're talking about it and because we did seek to find it after the tweet, then didn't she accomplish what she wanted by getting attention for it?
I mean,
she said something else we wouldn't be talking about.
Yeah, sure. I mean, to me, if Stephen A's not on the tube, I have no interest in watching.
Yeah.
I actually put on, so after the St. John's game last night, we'll do that a little bit later, the St. John's double overtime game, Baylor, went upstairs, put on the football game for a little bit, actually fell asleep midway through it, whatever, I had it on record, and when I woke up, ESPN was on, and I actually really like Van Pelt, and I just realized last night how little I watched that network.
Yeah,
I mean,
who watches
ESPN?
Well, I mean, I don't know, I don't look at the numbers. No, I
exactly.
don't.
Exactly.
I mean, I grew up watching it.
I have to, because all my UFC fights are through there.
I mean, but if there's not a fight, do you watch it?
No.
Zoo, do you?
Only for live sports.
There you go.
Yeah, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Mark is calling from Myrtle Beach. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Mark. What's happening, buddy?
So, pile on another tally for Team Rex.
Oh.
I've seen zero passion from not only any player, but any head coach since his tenure. And we need something. I get he has mediocre records. And BT, I want to hire him for the exact reasons you don't. I want 1980s offense. I want something that is very, very simple. I feel like the league is getting back to running the football and stopping the run. And I think, listen, when he coached, the AFC was very difficult. He's one of the only coaches to go back-to-back and back-to-back years to beat Brady and Manning.
No.
And listen, just give us something. Because if you hire another offensive or a defensive coordinator who doesn't know, you know, jack about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just then even digging our hole even further.
Yeah, Vrabel, but Mark, hold on for a second. That's why I'm not saying, you know, go get Ben Johnson. Not that he would want to come to the circus anyway. That's why I'm saying go get Mike Vrabel, who's 10 years younger than Vrabel, Rex and Vrabel's a lot more accomplished.
But has he really? The division's been terrible. I get he won with Tannehill, but I mean, you know.
Well, Mark, who do you think's a better coach, Vrabel or Rex Ryan?
If I were to pick a coach for the Jets or pick a coach for just
in general. Why should it matter?
Well, I mean, I was just curious in general because for me, I don't even love Vrabel here. But how could you argue that Rex is a better head coach? He's not.
He's not.
Not even close. I was just curious what you'd say for that one, Mark.
For the Jets, yeah. I would take Rex.
Yeah, there you go. And I think that's what a lot of Jets fans are going to feel.
Rex, what does that tally? 5-1 pro Rex? 6-1?
BT, it's very simple. Like, this is not, it's not something like, oh, scratching our heads of why fans love Rex. Like, it's very easy. To endear yourself to New York sports fans, all you have to do is talk passionately about the team that they love. Like, that's it. Oh, I want to be a Jet. I love the Jets. I'm going to turn that damn thing around. And plus, he did have success here, you know, 10 years ago, whatever it was. You're going back longer than that now, 2009, 2010. So, yeah, he did have success. And I've always said with Mangini's teams, I think a smarter hire would be Mangini. But Rex wants the job. It may not be as desirable as you would think a head coaching job would be in the NFL because of Woody and the history and now being exposed. I mean, you could do worse. That's the way that I would say it. Unfortunately, for me, it's chalked up to I don't think the Jets are going to do much better anyway, and you could do a lot worse. You might as well hire Rex.
Yeah, it's going to represent an emotional day if it happens, but for me, it's going to represent the wrong move. I just have no interest in Rex coaching this team. And, I really don't. I'm just done with the charades and the circuses and the press conferences and the empty rhetoric and the bluster and the promises. Get me a guy who's kooking coach.
I get it. Angelo's calling from Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Angelo?
BT,
yes.
How are you? First time, long time.
All
love
right.
You guys. Would you be okay with Rex if he picked the OC of your dreams and another DC coordinator?
I mean,
of your dreams?
It's still not optimal for me. I mean, would that maybe force me to reevaluate? I don't really have an OC in my dreams. Ben Johnson is not coming here to be the OC. If he came, he would be the head coach. So who is the OC of my dreams that I'm not aware of that would be tempting enough for me to change my opinion on Rex? I don't think he exists.
Here's why it's messy. Rex, like if you were to tell me definitively, and I'm at least open to bringing back Rex, right? I don't believe it's the right hire long term. But in the short term, I'm open for it. And the only reason, well, there are two reasons why I'm open for it. Number one, because he's proven to work well with Woody before and it seems that it might not be the most desirable situation. Okay, that's just proven. Number two, because of where the Jets are at roster-wise. So if you were to tell me that you are going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers for starters, immediately that negates any kind of desire I would have to bring Rex in the building. Like, there's no point. If you're stripping it down with starting with the quarterback, how could you possibly make an argument for Rex then?
He's not the guy to hold the hand of a young quarterback. That's obvious.
Okay, so.
But even with Rodgers, I prefer Gruden.
Understood.
Vrabel.
Well, me too. Understood. But what are we. It's hard because we don't know what we're getting ourselves into. Now, meaning we don't know what's going to happen. But based on recent reports, doesn't it seem like Rodgers was going to be done?
Yes.
Okay. So if that's the case, and now wouldn't you say that you're starting to get the feel, just using maybe some common sense a little bit, that Rex is going to be...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
at least one of the guys Woody would look to hire?
Oh, yeah. I said to Sal about an hour or so ago, I wouldn't be surprised if they already spoke. I mean, he's correct. So emboldened on the air, and he's always had that bravado. And again, I like Rex a lot as a person, but, you know, he's pushed it so forward and almost is so presumptuous. He's saying we. When we come out next year, when we play defense, when we show you what we're made of, right? We. I can't help but think that there's been a conversation with Woody, or at least an intimation that Rex is in play.
Right. So to me, it seems like it's going toward new quarterback, not Aaron Rodgers, and possibly Rex, which is the wrong thing to do.
Can I correct you?
Yes.
It's the worst thing to
correct.
Do.
Correct. If you're going to go with Rex, it should be at the very least with Rodgers back. And if you're going to move on from Rodgers, then it should be with a brand new head coach that you would hope would have an offensive mind that Rex has proven that he just does not have.
And I'm being consistent with this. I've heard Joe B say for years, you know, bring back Rex. Yeah. Anytime that comes up, I just, you know, I never refuted it like I did today because I never took it seriously really until today. Yeah. So if you guys missed the first hour, I mean, we were on fire. First segment, it's out there for you. Free Odyssey app, hit rewind, get up to speed, BT and Sal, all the shows at the station. But I really do believe that this has some merit here, and Woody's desperate, and Woody doesn't know anybody in the NFL, and Woody's a pleaser. One thing about Woody is that he hears what's going on and he reacts. And I respect this, but it's not good down the road.
He gives the fans what they want outside of a winner.
That's true. So I know that he knows there's the level of anger and apathy, either one, from the Jet fan right now. It's at an all-time high. So the way he could kind of buy some equity is to give him somebody that, you know, the fans love. And I love Rex. I just don't think he's a good coach.
Mario's calling from New Hyde Park. What's up, Mario?
Good morning and happy Friday to you guys.
You too, Mario. What's up?
Yeah, hello.
I'm just calling because, you know, with Rex, his brother, it's a clown show. We've been there. We saw what he could do when he had Tannenbaum and
Mangini.
The coach now. Mangini.
Yeah.
The Mangenius.
Yeah.
You know, he's a motivator. You know, he's a get-in-your-face coach. He pumps up the boys. He gets them ready to play, but he can't build a team, and, you know, it's all shallow bravado. I don't want to go back. I want to move forward.
There you
thank
go.
God.
There you go, Mario, and thank you for the call.
5-2 now in favor of Rex.
I think that's the level-headed thing. You also have to understand the circumstances that you're working with, though. Like, even though I'm with you, BT, for years I was saying, no Rex, fighting off callers on the overnight, whatever it may be, because listeners and fans wanted Rex Ryan. There was a part like, this isn't working. Just bring back Rex. We miss those days. This, however, and I've always felt along the way, I would never have hired Rex, but I've always felt at some point Woody was going to go back down that road. I just have always felt that way. And now, where they're set up, I at least think you can make a decent argument for Rex. I wouldn't do it, but I think they could do a lot worse.
Hey, listen, let's just turn back the clock with everybody so we could bring back Rex. I know Cespedes is begging for a Mets reunion. Bring him back. He can play right field instead of Marte if you don't get Soto. Bring them all back.
I mean,
make Vinny the quarterback's coach. I mean, Curtis can handle the running backs. Kemba Y can handle the O-line.
Well, no. No. Curtis is going to be the owner.
Oh, that's right. Pardon me.
Curtis is going to be the owner, and then Rex can be the head coach. Mm-hmm.
As per a report or an opinion.
BT and
which
Sal.
Which was nonsensical.
BT and Sal on the fair. We'll work in the MVP conversation as well. We got picks, the perfect parlay pick segment. Nick Costos, a lot to do on this Football Friday on The Fan.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
Score!
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We get a jam-packed Football Friday show for you with Nick Costos, our perfect parlay pick segment coming up later on. How about some baseball talk for a little bit here? And not Soto. We'll do that coming up, BT. But Aaron Judge last night winning another MVP award. And I'll tell you, as I was writing the Baseball Night New York show at SNY, and I'm going over all the numbers, I'm like, geez.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you forget how dominant a year Aaron Judge had because of the postseason. I don't know if it's the timing of these awards that's troublesome or the way that they're voted on, but I almost feel like I didn't appreciate it enough until again looking over the numbers because we get caught off in the postseason means everything, that Judge, just how dominant a year he had.
He's amazing. I think there's a lot of people, a lot of Yankee fans, and others, non-Yankee fans, who will look at this and say, well, it's hollow based on what he did in the postseason. And I understand that that's a massive part of his legacy. But Aaron Judge, like the appreciation that I have for Aaron Judge myself is through the roof. I mean, he makes baseball look easy.
Yeah.
I know, pop-up aside, I get that. But
In general, though, I know.
Oh, my God. So he wins the MVP in 2024. He very well could have won it in 2023 because he was on pace for 50 and 120 before he got hurt, and he only played 105 games when he got hurt out in Dodger Stadium. He obviously won it. So he's got two, and he very well could have won it back in 2017 when Altuve won that. And he had 50 bombs and 50 plus bombs and led the league in everything, including runs for a 6'7", 6'8" player. I'm going to choose. I can't tell anybody what to do. I choose to separate the April to late September, early October greatness of Judge and enjoy that and cherish that and protect that. And really, really elevate him where he belongs in terms of his baseball predecessors and peers as an all-time great. The October stuff is something he better find a way to get out of at some point. But, I mean, no, I can appreciate the season and compartmentalize private separately how he's been a bust in October.
When you say all-time great, do you mean all-time great Yankee or all-time great? Because to be an all-time great Yankee, that's where he's going to have to get it done in the postseason.
Yeah.
Like, he's the best player I've ever seen. I mean, the numbers back that up, but just watching him every night, like you said, he makes it look easy. You threw him a pitch. If you were in the regular season and you threw him a pitch in the strike zone, he was making you pay. I mean, that's just as simple as that. In the postseason, obviously, things change, but for the sake of the conversation, that's why he was the greatest player that I've ever seen, or has been the greatest baseball player I've ever seen, because he's done it cleanly, and he is just as dominant as you can be. But to be the greatest Yankee or an elite Yankee, don't you have to add the wins to
Yeah,
that?
I separate
and the postseason wins, I mean?
No, I'm sorry, Sal. I got you. And you're right. That's why I separate the Yankee stuff from the other stuff. And listen, anytime this comes up, there's a reason why I've referenced either Ernie Banks or even Willie Mays' postseason stats, or Ted Williams, who didn't have many reps but did not do well in the World Series that he played in. And the stats are there if you want to go look it up. And the one thing about Willie, is his career OPS in the postseason. And you can make the case Willie's number one, number two, number three. If it's not Ruth, it's Willie. If it's not Hank Aaron, it's Willie. If it's not Willie, it's Hank. I mean, those are generally the consensus, the three best players of all time. Now, Bonds would be there as well, but Bonds is a cheat.
Yep.
A-Rod would have been top 10 or top 12, but he's a cheat. So now you look at that next layer. And I'm not saying that Aaron Judge is top 10. What I am saying is that, it's okay to incorporate in the big evaluation of a baseball player. It's not the NBA, where if you choke in the finals and you couldn't elevate your team, where you take 38 or 40% of the shots on any given night, that's a different level of criticism, okay? But for baseball, where it's 70% rooted in failure, I process it differently.
Understood. And I hear that argument. The problem as it pertains to Judge is that it's not like Judge is continuing to do what he's done in the regular season in the playoffs, but the team isn't winning. What you're seeing repeatedly is a significant drop-off from what is one of the great regular seasons of all time to a non-factor in the postseason for the most part.
Basically, an embarrassment. Well, let's be honest. I mean,
that can't happen. Like, it's one thing if you see, I'd be with you if he kept at least close to the numbers that he had in the regular season, but the team wasn't winning.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, what do you want? What more do you want from the guy? Like, it's not his fault that the team didn't win. You could even say, I know we've had this argument about Ewing or Barkley. You throw those guys in, great regular season players. They were also great in the postseason as well. And again, different sport, whatever. You want to say Ewing got beat by Olajuwon. I get it, but
he did.
Still, overall, different sport. And those guys didn't have the drop-off from the regular season to the postseason.
Yep.
Judge has had a drop-off. The drop-off from regular season to postseason, to me, is more significant than him not winning a ring.
But it's also a very different sport. And there's a reason why I've said in the past when this conversation comes up, and I get it. I mean, he's not without criticisms, Judge, for sure. And he's got to change this at some point. Otherwise, he's not. It's going to be hard to process him as an all-time Yankee, like top four, top five. I get that. But let's take Martin Brodeur, or Billy Smith, who won four cups with the Isles, or any other great goalie, right? Lundqvist, even though we never won.
Yeah.
There's not this drop where, say, you give up two goals a game in the in the regular season, and suddenly you give up six in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Right, we're in baseball.
It's a different sport.
Yeah, I get it.
The fluctuations, there's a reason why.
Yeah, but you could still tell the greatness like of Lundqvist. If he struggled in the postseason, it didn't have to be from a goal a game to six goals a game, but you would know, you know what, he cost them.
There's a drop. Yeah.
but you know, he was standing on his head. The Rangers didn't win a cup. I can't hold that against them.
Yeah, maybe the drop wouldn't be as precipitous as I made it out to be. Understood. But even like, you know, there's a reason why in Ewing was I'll go back to Patrick because you just brought him up. Patrick was a hell of a player. Patrick didn't have much around him. Pat really, for a couple of years, took the Knicks places they had no business getting based on the talent or lack thereof around him, the deficiencies. So I can say that because Patrick clearly was great, but Patrick was also very deficient in certain areas. But for those deficiencies, whether it's missed free throws or not having great hands or being outplayed by Olajuwon in 94 where he shot below 38% in the NBA Finals, those things are all statistically provable. Patrick never went from 25 points a game in the regular season to 13 in the playoffs.
Right.
And there's a reason for that, because baseball is harder.
It is. It can't be hard. It's relative. It can't be harder. Like, all sports are tough. Why is baseball harder?
I'm going to tell you why. So what is the rate of failure in baseball? Give me the rate of failure.
But why is okay? But that
70%.
But that argument doesn't make sense as it pertains to regular season versus postseason. It's the same game.
Well, it's a smaller sample. If we judge Darren Judge on his April this year, people would have wanted him. They gave him the wrong contract. Yeah. They gave the wrong contract to the wrong guy. So
I know, but Judge basically outside of April didn't have a bad week.
Yeah.
So in the postseason, he had three rough series.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
And I'm not even trying to make excuses. Yeah. It's not good enough.
I know.
It's clearly not. But man, oh man, what he's done in his career, I'm not saying I can make sense of it, why he falls apart in October or outside of the rate of failure, and it's a smaller sample, and there's better pitching. It's very hard.
We have Craig Carton on the line with some breaking news.
Breaking
here,
news.
BT. What's up, Craigie?
Craigo!
Hey, what's up, guys?
Craigie boy.
Hello, Craigie.
He's our guy. We love him. What's up, Craig?
I apologize if I have a bad connection, but I had to give this to you. My main man over here at Fox, Jordan Schultz, just called me and told me that Daniel Jones has asked for his release from the Giants, and they are granting it to him.
Let's go. Where's he going? What team is he going to? The Steelers? Where's he going?
Wow.
Let's go.
Don't know that yet, but it seems like we knew the Daniel Jones era was over.
Yeah.
But Jordan Schultz gives credit for the reporting, not me.
Mm-hmm.
But he has said that he this morning asked for the release, and the Giants are going to grant it to him. So Daniel Jones will no longer be a New York Giant.
I got to tell you, first of all, I love that you thought of us, Craig, and that's awesome. Just, give us a buzz.
We just happen to be on.
He likes us a lot. He knows that. Hey, who's your favorite show? Come on.
That's true.
He loves us.
He might like you. I don't know, Craigie. But we do appreciate it. That is, and it does make more sense now with what we saw yesterday with Jones having that statement, because there were some who were thinking, well, why would he do this now with seven games to go? I mean, L. Duncan ripped him, which I thought was classless, but now it makes more sense that he would ask for his release. Hey, you can't go from being a starting quarterback to practice squad player. To me, that was disrespectful to him.
Oh, and of course, don't forget this. I know there was that story he was playing like safety or whatever it was yesterday. If he even gets hurt at practice, they got to pay him like another $30 million bucks next year. So he knows that. He wants to get out, wants to maybe go somewhere, be a backup and have a chance. If a guy gets hurt to play, who knows? But this was inevitable. And now it's over.
Hey, Craig, real quick, does that injury provision carry or follow him to whatever team he goes to? I would imagine that it does, right?
Well, no, if he's released, I don't know how that impacts the contract, because the Giants have to pay him for the remaining, you know, seven games of the season.
Uh-huh.
So you'd basically be signing him for the veteran minimum. And I'm not sure how the language in that works. That's a good
Interesting.
Question.
Interesting. All right. Hey, listen, man. Good.
Well, hold on. A couple more for you, Craigie, now that we got you. You want Rex back with the Jets?
Yeah, but I want him with Mike Tannenbaum.
Oh, what about Rodgers then in that scenario? I'm with you. I have no problem with that. Hey, do it again.
I have a problem with that. Well, why do you want Rex back? Why?
Well, with Tannenbaum and with Rodgers, would you have Rodgers back in that scenario?
Well, look, you know, I think we learned a lesson with the Denver Broncos that even if you eat $80 million against the cap, if you find a decent quarterback, you can win games. So to me, the Aaron Rodgers experiment was a total unobjective failure, and I don't know why it would get any better next year. So go get me a dude who's competent. Uh-huh. Hopefully get one in the draft if you can. But look, I'm not saying Rex Ryan's the answer to all of our problems, but I don't know that I can get a Johnson or an Aaron Glenn or a Cliff Kingsbury. And I know what he is. And he represents the only success we have had in 20 years. So let's run it back.
Oh, God. Listen, man. you're insane. Oh, man, you are a Rex guy. So am I. I just don't want him back, man. I'm surprised you're saying this. I'm disappointed in you, Carton. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, look, I like Rex, but I want fat Rex. So part of my deal is if Rex Ryan comes back, he's got to agree to put 30 pounds back on.
Dude, it's so funny you say that because I said the same thing, and I don't want him, but if he does come, it better not be svelte Rex. It better be fat, chubby Rex.
Craig, give me your top three female characters in a movie or TV show. Like, for me, just to give you an example, like, I'm in love with Mila Kunis from Forgetting Sarah Marshall would be one. Give me your top three female characters in a movie or TV show.
Top three, huh? Yeah.
Or two. One, two.
We're going sex appeal?
Whatever you think.
No, acting
like,
chops.
Like I went Beth, I went Beth Dunton in Yellowstone was one for me as well. Good.
All right. I would say top of my head, the girl that plays Apollonia in Godfather 2.
Okay.
Oh, Godfather 1, pardon me. I would say, wow, I'm not a huge fan lately, but I'd go Cameron Diaz in Math.
Good call.
See, I like it.
It's a good
call.
Like yeah.
What else?
Solid call.
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy.
Yes, it is.
One more, Craigie.
I'm patting myself on the back. And I would go Jessica Rabbit in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
See?
Yes.
There you go.
Going for the cartoon. We always knew Craig was a little weird.
I was thinking of Jessica Rabbit yesterday because remember, BT, we brought up, I forget her name, from Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
Oh, yeah, she came
so
up.
So that's why I was thinking of Jessica Rabbit. Yeah. Redhead, voluptuous. All right, Craigie, we appreciate it.
Awesome, dude.
You got it.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, by the way, so Craig,
you have the statement here with the Giants?
We can read it one second. Craig didn't, I know he wouldn't say this on the air. He's too humble with this stuff. He's not really humble about much. He likes to brag, but he's definitely humble about this, and we love Craig. He sent me this the other day. We stay in touch for sure, and many of you remember his son, all of his kids and his whole family, when Lucky was younger. Lucky's now playing college football.
Right.
Tore up his knee, first day of practice last year.
Yeah.
Well, he came back, and he was first in rushing, first in scoring, first in total yards, first in touchdowns. He had a really good year. So happy for Craig. Making that trip out to, is it Iowa or is it Idaho? Let's get it mixed up.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but
Cameron Diaz in the mask, an interesting call.
That's a great call.
Craigie right there.
I think that's the first time I ever saw her.
That's what.
Right?
No, I remember. Probably, but that's the first time I remember. I don't know if that was her first thing.
I think it may have been because something about Mary was after and all the other stuff was after.
Exactly. That was before something about Mary.
Got some hair gel?
You never know. Why do you always got to go too far? You want to read the statement from the Giants?
Both have it. Go for it.
Daniel, this is a statement from Giants president John Mara on Daniel Jones. Daniel came to see me this morning and asked if we would release him. We mutually agreed that would be best for him and for the team. Daniel has been a great representative of our organization, first class in every way. His handling of this situation yesterday exemplifies just that. We are all disappointed in how things have worked out. We hold Daniel in high regard and have a great appreciation for him. We wish him nothing but the best in the future.
That's a class move by the Giants, and I'm happy for Jones. We can get into some of the possible destinations coming up next. Obviously, BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. So, wow, we knew the era was over, but now it is officially over. Interesting stuff.
Your official station to talk New York Yankees.
Talking about looking at Soto's numbers on Baseball Reference. I was literally doing it when you said it. I've been saying all year, he's kind of like Bobby Abreu.
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls here. We're talking Giants and Daniel Jones with the release now of Daniel Jones and where he might be going next, BT.
Yeah, let's hit some of those teams in a moment. I just want to button up a couple of things from the contract stuff. All right, so Based on the release of Jones, dead cap hits 2024, $47.1 million. 2025, next year is $22.2 million. And by releasing Jones, it frees up $19.4 million of cap space for 2025.
So by releasing him now, $19 million in cap space for next season.
Frees it up, and the dead cap hit for next season is 22.2. So those are just the numbers.
That's it. After that, beyond that year, that's it.
Okay. That's it. The other thing, I mean, this is somewhat interesting, but they didn't have any offset salary language, which is a little surprising to me, I guess. So the Giants were on the hook for the rest of the 2024 salary, which is 35.5. When he signs elsewhere, because he's going to sign elsewhere, he can then double dip. All right, and this is all via Spotrac. They did the homework. I want to make sure I give him a shout out. Yeah. This obviously good job by them. They're great at this. And the minimum salary for the rest of this season, prorated portion, $437,000.
So whoever,
if he goes to the Steelers, let's just say, and it's going to be $437,000. I mean, I guess conceivably it could be more if there's a bit of a bidding war. But the minimum for the rest is basically $440,000. And he can double dip. Giants on the hook for the rest of the salary, which is 25.5 mil.
Which is what
35.5 mil. Pardon me. Which is the totality of it
with Russell Wilson. Like you get the minimum or whatever, but you still had his contract.
You're still getting all the other stuff.
So now let's just take a quick look at some of the
teams. Look at the standings. Yeah. I actually think there's more than you might. So let's hit them all. Good. Just start with each team. Okay, start with the East. Let's go.
Buffalo. No.
No.
Miami.
If Tua gets hurt,
I'm putting him on a possible list.
I was going to say, if Tua were to get hurt again, and they're hanging around, maybe
he's a fit there because they need a backup quarterback.
Yep.
I
want to get back to the Jets after because you know what I said about Daniel Jones and the Jets next year, but we'll get back to them.
New England.
No.
Steelers.
Maybe.
I would say no.
Why?
They got Fields and Russell Wilson. What are they going to do with Daniel Jones?
I'm going to say maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Baltimore.
No.
Cincinnati,
no.
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Jameis has been playing well.
Yeah, he did play very well. But Cleveland's interesting in the sense that I think this applies to Rodgers, but Rodgers is not available right now. I think the Browns could be a possible destination next year for Rodgers or Jones. So it would behoove them maybe to get him in the building and see what he's made out of, but very unlikely, I could see a decent fit.
So far for me, through two divisions, I have one possible, and that's Miami.
I have two, Miami and the Browns, and I'll get back to the Jets. Go ahead. Texans?
Yeah, and Pittsburgh, too. Yeah, Texans, Pittsburgh, yep. No.
Nope.
Colts, no.
Well, hold on a second.
I mean, I like Richardson.
Pretty much never does that. Yeah. Flacco's been awful recently. Probably not. Next year, maybe more so.
Tennessee, absolutely, right?
Not really.
Because they're going to want a younger quarterback.
Yeah, what are you going to do with him?
I mean, that's fair, but they need a quarterback. So you're saying more of a win-now team that's looking for a backup.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to put Tennessee as a maybe on my list at least.
Jaguars?
No.
I think they might trade Trevor Lawrence, but I would say no to that right now. Let's keep it moving.
Kansas City?
Nah.
Chargers? Denver?
Maybe.
Again, I don't know all the backups in these spots.
Well, Zach is one of them. In Denver?
Well, right.
I mean, so.
Well, I'm saying even in with the Chargers, I think it's Heineke. With the Chiefs, who's the Chiefs backup? Anybody know who the Chiefs
backup is? Honestly, I don't even know. I forgot.
Yeah. Hop maybe or Zoo, look that up. Who's the Kansas City Chiefs backup quarterback? Raiders?
That is similar mindset to like the Browns or another team where it's not going to do anything for this year, but if you get him in the building and see what he's got and see how he fits, maybe that would be a move for next year. But the Raiders are drafting somebody, so probably
not. I'm not going that. No. By the way, Carson Wentz is the backup in Kansas City.
Oh, that's right.
Philadelphia?
I'm going to say yes.
For Philadelphia?
As a backup. Jalen Hurts goes down. This team starts to win.
Who's their backup? The Eagles' backup quarterback right now.
They're going to look for it. Keep going.
Yeah, maybe he gets a good recommendation from Saquon.
Oh, that's his book. Can you imagine?
Oh.
Daniel Jones back to pass. He got Saquon on the wheel route at the 30, at the Sirianni, 40, at the 10. Touchdown, Eagles.
Sirianni goes with Daniel Jones on some trick plays.
Oh, God. Okay. I would say maybe
Kenny
for
Pickett.
The Eagles.
Kenny Pickett's the backup there, so probably not.
Yeah, nah.
Washington?
No.
Dallas?
Not at this point. They got too much money invested in
Dallas?
Dak. They got too much money invested in Dak.
They're going with Cooper Rush this year. Absolutely. That might be the best fit of all so far for me.
But what does that do?
You don't think Dallas would look to pick up Daniel Jones right now and try to win?
Hey, I'm here to watch. I'd love to see it on Thanksgiving. Are you kidding me? It'll be phenomenal. But
Daniel Jones versus Tommy DeVito?
But what would that
sign
that
me
would
up
be
for
sick.
That in a second?
Me too. But aside from what we want, like, why would it help them? Because Dak is on the hook for big
because
money for
Cooper,
a couple years.
Yeah, because right, well, it's right now you're getting him for cheap right now.
But are they trying to win? Are we sure about that? They're out of the playoffs, dude.
No, but
so
I mean,
that's how I base my evaluation.
Here's how I would base mine: if I'm in the organization and I'm trying to win games or put a decent product out there, and I say, okay, Cooper Rush or Daniel Jones,
mm-hmm.
I'd at least inquire to Daniel Jones. I think it's a possibility.
All right, keep going.
I would have them number one over Miami right now. Miami would be a clear backup role. Okay, Lions.
Yes.
Who's their backup?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter. I mean,
I'm answering this.
God forbid if the starter goes down, you got a chance. That's why Kansas City's maybe more viable than I said. My first reaction was no. Like, if even maybe Buffalo, you have a chance to win the championship. You got to make sure you have that backup. And for $500,000, you could get a guy who won a road playoff game.
Hendon,
count me in.
Hendon Hooker is their backup. So I would agree.
From Tennessee? No, absolutely.
I would agree with
Let's
you.
Go.
Jones is a fit in Detroit. So
okay.
I think right now I'm Miami, Dallas, Detroit.
There's some interesting options.
Minnesota.
Yeah, why not? Same concept applies.
Yes. Minnesota, yes.
Yep.
Green Bay.
Why not? Same concept applies.
Who was their backup? We saw him a couple of times. Well, is that Malik Willis
yes.
from Tennessee?
Yeah, okay, formerly of Tennessee.
Chicago?
No. I think that's right. too muddled. I wouldn't bring him there.
Atlanta?
No.
Tampa?
No.
New Orleans?
Maybe. But
Carolina,
they're 4-7. Not Carolina, no.
Arizona? No. I wouldn't think.
I wouldn't think so either.
Rams?
Nah.
No. Seattle.
Then we get the Geno and Danny show. The Geno and Danny Dimes show.
Who's backing up Purdy in San Fran these days? It was Sam last year. Again, I don't think Jones is a good fit for them either, but who knows.
I would say, I know we just hit a lot of things. To me, there's at least 10 to 12 teams that should be interested.
I would go
That's what I would
Josh
say.
Dobbs the backup and Brandon Allen in San Francisco. I would say Dallas number one, Detroit number two, Minnesota 3, Miami 4, maybe not in that order, but those are four teams who I think legitimately could give him an opportunity to at the very least be a backup quarterback. With Dallas, it might be for starter, but for the other guys, a backup quarterback. All right, BT, it's Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls, the Rex Ryan stuff, Daniel Jones stuff, where the Giants are at, Daniel Jones landing spot, all that, and more. 888 Aaron Judge, the MVP, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.